To John, the 6th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. When the crowd saw that neither Jesus nor his disciples were beside the sea, they themselves got into the boats and went to Capernaum, looking for Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Jesus answered them, "Very truly, I tell you, you are looking for me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For it is on him that God the Father has set his seal." Then they said to him, "What must we do to perform the works of God?" Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." So they said to him, "What sign are you going to give us then, so that we may see it and believe you? What work are you performing? Our ancestors ate manna in the wilderness, as it is written, 'He gave them bread from heaven to eat.'" Then Jesus said to them, "Very truly, I tell you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but it was my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." They said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Misunderstanding is a common theme throughout the Gospel of John. Nicodemus does not understand when Jesus tells him he must be born again. When Jesus offered the Samaritan woman at the well the living water of eternal life, she misunderstands what he means. In last week's gospel, Philip and Andrew do not understand how 5 loaves and 2 fish can possibly feed 5,000 people. This theme of misunderstanding continues in today's reading from John. The Galileans follow Jesus to Capernaum, thinking he will provide more food for them. Jesus tells them, "Very truly, I tell you, you are looking for me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves." Jesus continues, "Do not work for food that perishes, but for food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you." In response to Jesus' statement, the Galileans ask, "What must we do to perform the works of God?" Jesus responds, "The work of God is that you believe in him whom God has sent." But still not sure understanding who Jesus is as the Son of Man, the Galileans want a sign so they may see it and believe. They then go on to remind Jesus that their ancestors ate manna in the wilderness, as a sign that God was with them. Jesus responds by saying that the bread Moses gave was not the true bread God gives, because that bread did not give life to the world. The bread Moses gave was only a sign, a symbol of God's presence with them. Jesus declares that he is the true bread. The bread that descends from heaven and gives life to the world. In essence, Jesus is saying that he's not God's intermediary, like Moses, dispensing the true bread. Rather, Jesus is the true bread himself. And Jesus' claim to be the true bread is validated by his resurrection from the dead. The crowd listening to Jesus responds, "Sir, give us this bread always." Now we have looked at John 6:25-34 in some detail. Now we ask, what difference does it all make? But before we can answer that question, we have to ask a prior question. What is wrong with our world? What is wrong with our world? There is so much toil and trouble, debate and division, struggling and searching. What is wrong with our world? It's not just a power differential, a separation between those who have and those who have not, or a difference over race, or a difference over gender identification, or some other division. How do we as Christians reflect upon what is wrong with our world? As Christians, we say, sin is what is wrong with the world. We are born into a creation that is broken, and we ourselves are broken. Because Jesus is God in our human flesh, Jesus can heal our brokenness. As Christians, we dare proclaim that Jesus is the answer to what is wrong in our world. And today's gospel reveals three ways in which God, through Christ, offers healing for our brokenness. The first way of healing is that God is with us. Relationship is life, and relationship with Jesus is life eternal. Jesus Christ brings the past activity of God into our present. Can you remember all that God did in the past? The promise of the gospel is that Jesus still does it today. In the power of his resurrection, Jesus is not bound by history. Rather, he is free to come and feed us and to comfort us. For in Christ, the God who gave in the Exodus is the God who gives, becomes the God who gives. Everything we need to flourish in life, everything is given to us. God is always loving us, encouraging us, pulling for us, comforting us, suffering with us. The second way God heals our brokenness is through forgiveness. The purpose of forgiveness is to give us a new future. The purpose of forgiveness is to give us a new future, to release us from our past. Jesus, the bread of life, has the power to wipe away all those things in our life in the past that has put us in the dark, that makes us bitter and steals our joy. Jesus sets us free from those things in life that enslave us. We have new life. We have a new future. The third way God heals our brokenness is to give us a mission. God redeems God's people so that we can become a priestly kingdom. When the Galileans inquired of Jesus what they must do to perform the works of God, Jesus told them that the work of God was that we believe in Jesus whom God has sent. In John's Gospel, believing is not an intellectual assent to a set of doctrines or a verbal confession that Jesus is Lord and Savior. Believing, as an idea or as a thought, is a relatively new idea. Believing really is a verb. Believing is a commitment that involves the total person in following Jesus into thinking and doing and fulfilling the will of God as a steward of God's creation. Believing is active. It's an action. Believing is a verb, not a noun. And likewise, with the word faith. John, in his gospel, never uses the noun for faith, but always its verbal form, its active form. Have faith, come to faith, put on faith. Like belief, faith is an active commitment to a person, especially a commitment to Jesus the Christ. Faith is a verb, not a noun. When we believe in Jesus, eating, ingesting, and taking him into our lives, we live differently. We see ourselves and other persons created in the image and likeness of God rather than as obstacles to be overcome. We trust the silence of prayer rather than the words of argument. We choose love and forgiveness rather than anger and retribution. We relate with love, care, and kindness rather than with superficiality and defensiveness. We listen for God's voice rather than our own. Ultimately, we seek life rather than death. The artist and theologian Elizabeth Ray King says, "We can believe in justice as a thing. We can believe in love and care and kindness and humility. But until we start living and acting as love, living out that care, graciously spilling over with kindness and working with others, belief is just a belief. Believing in resurrection is okay. Living resurrection is quite another thing." You cannot learn about Jesus and simply say he was a great teacher or a notable figure in history. That choice is not on the table, folks. We must remember what Peter Kraft told his class at Boston University. He said, "Christ changes every human being he has ever met. If people claim to have met Jesus without being changed, they have not met Jesus. When you touch Jesus, you touch lightning." The life of Jesus demands a response. The Galileans responded to Jesus, "Sir, give us this bread always." What is your response? Amen. The song of the day is on page 5. Please stand. believe. We believe we are chosen by God, our Creator, to participate in the ongoing work of creation by holding life sacred and being good stewards of God's gracious gifts. We believe we are chosen by Jesus Christ, our Savior, to participate in the ongoing work of spreading the good news of God's saving love and serving others in the name of the Lord. We believe we are chosen by the Holy Spirit, who calls us through the gospel to believe in Jesus Christ, gathers us as a community of believers to worship together and support one another, and enlightens us with gifts of love, forgiveness, and everlasting life. We believe the Holy Spirit nourishes our growth, preserves us in faith, and keeps us in God's grace forever. Amen.
You may be seated. Let us worship God as we make our offerings. The offering song is Everybody's Got Something to Offer. Divided, knit us together and restore the unity of the faith. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
You command the clouds above and cause the wind to blow in the heavens. Watch over deserts and wilderness places. Regenerate rainforests. Defend species at risk of extinction. And strengthen the work of conservation organizations. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
You summon leaders to respond to the needs of your people. Instill those who govern with patience when confronted with grievances and perseverance in seeking what promotes the well-being of the community. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
You draw near to those who cry out for help, feed those who are hungry, reassure those who are despairing, and accompany those who are in prison. Rain down the true bread from heaven that gives life to the world. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
You receive all who come seeking a sign of grace. Make this congregation a place of hospitality for those accustomed to rejection, to those who have felt excluded here or elsewhere. Prepare us to welcome them in the name of Christ. Hear us, O God. We give thanks that the Holy Spirit has been working through our call committee and all who have been working to bring a new pastor to Buffalo. We pray for the council's congregation and candidates, that you would grant to all a spirit of wisdom and discernment as we prepare to meet and shape a common vision for this ministry in Buffalo, and that you would guide us through each step in the days ahead. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
You provide food that endures for eternal life. Sustain us each day with the bread of life until we are gathered with all the saints and feast together at your heavenly banquet. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
We lift these and all our prayers to you, O God, confident in the promise of your saving love through Jesus Christ, our Savior.
Amen.
The kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
us give thanks for this sacrament. Holy God, we give you thanks for your bread and your blood shed for us. Help us to be your faithful servants, and may this time together and this meal give us strength to be ever more faithful. Amen. The communion hymn is Eat This Bread.
We've done that.
We did it at communion.
Oh, sorry. So the blessing. Okay, I'm sorry. I really like this order of service, but I guess I've got to pay more attention yet. May the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and give you peace. And go now and live as the chosen people of God. Christ is with you.
Thanks be to God.